Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Thursday, April 18th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, City Closer to Letting Woman Raise Chickens. Zoning Board OKs Permit for Up to 12 Birds on Property by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. Carla Lane, who grew up on a farm just south of Joliet, says she knows a thing or two about raising chickens, and the Bloomington Zoning Board of Appeals agreed with her. We had all kinds of livestock. We had 200 to 300 chickens we would get every year, Lane told the Pantograph on Wednesday, a few hours before the board recommended she receive the city's first permit under a new ordinance allowing residents to raise chickens within city limits under certain conditions. I agree with the city in having a very strong ordinance because it could be nasty, said Lane. Chickens are dirty birds. You have to keep up with it or you're going to have a stinky mess. The board voted 5-1 to recommend, with conditions, a special use permit to raise up to 12 chickens on 5 acres spread over 2 adjacent lots that Lane and her husband own at 3402 and 3404 East Oakland Avenue in the Waterford Estates subdivision on the city's southeast side. The request was the city's first since the city council adopted on March 11th a revised zoning ordinance that allows residents to raise chickens in their yards with the approval of special use permits in each case. The recommendation will be brought to the council on May 13th for final action. The chickens would be housed in a coop inside a red barn that came with property the Lanes purchased in 2012. The barn meets the required distance of at least 10 feet from the rear and side property lines, said Community Development Director Bob Mart. With an approved special use permit, the city allows up to 4 chickens on lots 1 acre or smaller, and 1 additional chicken for every additional half acre beyond the original acre. But Lane's situation is unusual because she owns 2 adjacent parcels on which she wanted to keep chickens, Mart said. That prompted the board to add the condition that the 12-chicken maximum would remain in effect only as long as the 2 parcels are owned in common by one party. When Lane told the board that she plans to buy a portable coop on wheels so she can move the chickens around her yard, the board also added the condition that the movable enclosure or any other buildings housing the chickens also must meet the 10-foot setback requirement. Board Chairman Jeff Brown, who ended 4 years of service on the board on Wednesday, cast the lone dissenting vote. Brown said after the meeting that he was worried about how it might affect the neighbors. It wasn't a large concern, but it was a concern nonetheless, said Brown, but he did not elaborate. While Lane could have purchased a property outside of city limits, she said the opportunity to raise chickens and to have fresh eggs should be afforded to anyone, she said. The addition of chickens would support our views of living organic. She began more than a year ago working to get keeping chickens legalized in the city and asked every neighbor who bordered her fence to sign the petition in support of her endeavor. All of those neighbors did, including Larry and Jeanette Godin, whose property on Castlemaine Drive backs up to Lane's fence. I don't see any problems with it, and our other neighbors appear to be okay with it, Larry Godin told the Pantograph before the hearing. A lot of us baby boomers grew up with parents who had victory gardens and raised their own food. Jeanette Godin was one of 2 people who spoke in favor of the permit at the hearing. No one voiced opposition at the meeting, but the board did get an emailed letter from a couple residing nearby on Crystal Court who expressed concerns about the chickens' impact on property values. They also worry that the chickens might cause dogs to bark more, attract other rodents, and be smelly. The ordinance prohibits roosters and slaughtering chickens. The special use permit costs Lane about $350 in application fees, including publishing a legal notice in the Pantograph, said Mart. It's worth it to me, said Lane. I am happy to go through the hoops, and I am okay with being the first one. I appreciate the organic community that you are building there and this very well thought out first venture, board member Victoria Harris told Lane. The next story is entitled 17 Local Solar Farms on Hold. Downs Project Gets Go-Ahead from State by Derek Bay. Bloomington. McLean County's solar boom is officially on hold. Only one of McLean County's crush of proposed solar farms got state credits and can now proceed, following a lottery last week, leaving 17 more county-approved projects in limbo until the state offers more opportunities to build. News was similar across the state as Moraine Solar, a 2-megawatt project at 6450 McLean County Road 2200 East, near Downs, was among just 112 of 909 community solar developments selected by the Illinois Power Agency. Several pieces of legislation being proposed in Springfield would bring more funding for renewable energy, opening up the chance for more projects to receive credits. Moraine Solar is expected to cost $3.9 million, including $2.3 million invested locally, and to generate construction jobs and property tax revenue. Cypress Creek Renewables of Santa Monica, California, is behind the 33-acre project, as well as several other proposed solar farms in McLean County. My understanding was they would try to build them this year, but I have not spoken with them since this list came out, said Phil Dick, the county's director of building and zoning. There were conditions on the various special use permits. Once that's taken care of, we can issue permits without taking this back to the county board. Cypress Creek officials could not be reached for comment Wednesday. Projects approved by the county board could be located across the county, including in South and West Bloomington, Arrowsmith, Downs, Hayworth, McLean, and Towanda. Each would take up at least 14 acres, and some would use up to 40, an issue for board members who said they're concerned about giving up prime farmland. Projects in another category, large distributed generation, were more successful, with all 740 such projects statewide qualifying for renewable energy credits. These projects use solar panels to generate electricity for specific businesses and property owners. Community solar projects send power to other sites. In McLean County, those sites include Walmart, Dr. Stephen Pilcher's office, Illini Elite Volleyball, and Pro Air HVAC, all in Bloomington, Gastrointestinal Institute, The Lodge on Willow, Mennonite Church of Normal, Pinecrest Apartments, and the Shops at College Hills, all in Normal, Kagan Farms in Carlock, Midwest Electronics in Ellsworth, Love's Travel Stop in Leroy, and Keeser Farms in McLean. Lincoln College received approval for a 1.5-megawatt solar project at its Lincoln campus and plans to build this year, the college said in a statement. The Normal-based Ecology Action Center has led two group-buy programs called Solar Bloomington Normal to encourage those kind of projects, and a third round is expected this year. Here's a story entitled Habitat Program, Way to Give Back, Honors Heroes. Sergeant Rogers' family, friends, help organize Heroes of Habitat by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. After Sergeant Josh Rogers died fighting for freedom, the Bloomington Normal community wrapped its arms around his family. Now, the Rogers family and their friends are returning the hugs. Rogers' mother, Vonda, along with Bill Waller, Habitat for Humanity of McLean County construction manager, and four friends, are organizing a new program to honor a local hero. Called Heroes of Habitat, the program of Habitat for Humanity of McLean County will annually honor a McLean County hero by building a Habitat house in his or her name. The first person to be honored will be Josh Rogers, the Army Ranger and Normal Community High School graduate who was killed in action in Afghanistan on April 27, 2017. Rogers was killed on his third deployment to Afghanistan during a successful raid on an Islamic State compound in eastern Afghanistan. "The community wrapped its arms around us," Vonda Rogers said, recalling various ways in which Bloomington Normal paid tribute to her son. One way was people lining streets between Eastview Christian Church and Evergreen Memorial Cemetery when Rogers' remains were taken for burial. Among those lining the procession route were Waller and his friend, Brandy Finney, an Army National Guard veteran. Later, Waller was surprised to see Vonda Rogers volunteering with the State Farm Military Affinity Group on a Habitat House for a veteran and his family. "I thought, what can we do for this family?" Waller recalled. He thought about building a house in Rogers' honor, and Habitat Executive Director Jim Walters suggested a formal program. Heroes of Habitat was born. Waller asked Vonda Rogers if she'd like to help. "I was looking for ways to give back to the community," she said. "Heroes of Habitat is an answer to my prayer." The Heroes Committee includes Waller, Rogers, Finney, Terry Knarr, Hunter Trago, and Suzanne Roberts. All are Bloomington residents and friends of Rogers or Waller. "I felt like this is what I'm supposed to be working on," Knarr, who grew up with Vonda Rogers, said during a committee meeting at Waller's apartment on Wednesday. She also described the project as an answer to a prayer. "Josh's purpose was to fight for freedom," his mother said. "We can do that on the home front. This program will honor heroes whose fingerprints have been left on this community in a big way." The first Hero House will be built at 1108 South Oak Street, Bloomington, and the homeowners tentatively will be a single mother with two children. Consistent with Habitat family selection process, the family will be identified after approval by the Habitat Board. A groundbreaking ceremony will be 10 a.m. May 25th. People who are interested in helping to donate to Heroes of Habitat or to help with construction may go to www.habitatmclean.org or www.heroesofhabitat.com or go to the Heroes of Habitat Facebook pages for more information. Later this year, nominations will be accepted for the 2020 Hero. Homeowners will be chosen through the regular Habitat selection process. "We offer the community an opportunity to come together and get their hands dirty to honor local heroes while partnering with local families," Rogers said. The next article is headlined, "Jury Views Police Photos of Suspect's Home. Prosecutor, Search Showed Zimmerman Organized Meticulous," by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. Kirk Zimmerman's home and car were scoured in November 2014 for possible evidence related to the death of his former wife, according to testimony Wednesday from several Bloomington police detectives. Zimmerman is accused of shooting Pam Zimmerman, his wife of 20 years, before the two divorced in 2012, on November 3, 2014, as she sat behind the reception desk of her office at 2103 East Washington Street. Four detectives testified about their roles in the homicide investigation that quickly focused on Zimmerman as a suspect. The 60-year-old defendant was taken to the police station for questioning hours after the victim's body was found. The jury viewed more than 100 photos taken by police of Zimmerman's home during the 6 days his residence on Park Ridge Road was under police control, based on a search warrant. Everything from Zimmerman's sock and underwear drawers to the inside of the trash cans of his four-bedroom home was depicted on a screen in the courtroom. At least six officers were at the home during portions of the search of Zimmerman's home. The photos of the well-kept home supported Prosecutor Mary Cole's description of Zimmerman as a very organized, meticulous person. Among the items seized from Zimmerman's home was a list of activities and chores he told police he had done on the day his former wife was killed. Police also picked up a receipt from a trash can for Subway, an item that supports the defendant's version of his round of activities the previous day. Detective Paul Jones detailed the gunshot residue tests he performed on gloves located during the search of Zimmerman's home. Test results on the gloves showed no residue to link Zimmerman to firing or being near a firearm, according to previously filed court records. The process used by Bloomington police to seize and search Zimmerman's car was discussed by Detective Todd Walcott, one of the officers sent to locate Zimmerman's car in a State Farm parking garage hours after the victim was found on November 4, 2014. Walcott said Zimmerman's silver Hyundai Sonata was towed to the Bloomington Police Department. In response to questions from defense lawyer John Rogers, Walcott could not say how many officers had access to the car. Tests performed on Zimmerman's car showed gunshot residue on the gear shift handle, according to a state police report. The defense has challenged those results, arguing that police officers who handle weapons may have transferred residue from their hands or bodies to the suspect's car. Rogers spent a portion of his cross-examination of the detectives asking them about their exposure to firearms before they were assigned to gather evidence from Zimmerman's car. Each officer recalled cleaning their guns after firing them at a range days or weeks before the Zimmerman homicide. The detectives also wore gloves during the evidence collection, according to their testimony. Blood was not located in Zimmerman's car, according to police testimony Wednesday. The next story is entitled, Animal Emergency Clinic to Move, Adds Vet Hours, by Kelsey Watsonhour. Bloomington. A new veterinarian and a new location are in store for Animal Emergency Clinic of McLean County. The privately owned veterinary clinic at 2505 East Oakland Avenue in Bloomington will open in a new home at 118 Greenwood Avenue at 6 p.m. May 1st. The emergency clinic will share the space its current occupant, Highland Pet Hospital, though the two remain independent businesses. One of the main reasons for the move is to try to attract and retain emergency veterinarians to the area, and we believe having the two businesses in the same facility may provide a good working environment for the vets, said Dr. Joshua Lee, a part-time vet at the emergency clinic and at Highland. The clinic also welcomed Dr. Lei Wang, who joined the team in March, 6 months after a shortage of veterinarians contributed to the emergency clinic reducing its hours. In September, the clinic's hours began changing day by day, week by week, said Kimberly Burks, a veterinarian who also splits her time between clinics. With a full staff of 2 full-time vets, 2 part-time vets, and other relief vets in the area, the emergency clinic will resume its consistent night and weekend schedule, 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Thursday, and on weekends, from 6 p.m. Friday to 8 a.m. Monday. The full weekend hours also are a recent change for the emergency clinic that was previously closed from 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. Some Highland hours will overlap with the new clinic hours, so we will work to keep clear communication during this time when both businesses will be working from a common space, according to the clinic website. The clinic phone number, 309-665-5020, will remain the same after the move. More information about the clinic's emergency services is available on the Animal Emergency Clinic Bloomington, Illinois Facebook page or at animalemergencybloomington.com. Here's a story entitled, Early Morning Fire Destroys Morton Industrial Building, by Nick Vlahos. Morton, A fire early Wednesday morning destroyed an industrial building in Morton. Nobody was injured in the blaze that began about 2 a.m. at Test Development Innovators, 361 Erie Avenue, said authorities. According to Morton Fire Department Chief Joe Kelly, employees of nearby businesses heard explosions from the vicinity of the steel frame building, which is located among industrial installations. "We could see fire on both ends of the building," Kelly said. "It was well developed before we ever arrived. Our first concern was to keep it contained to this building. There's other buildings out here, and some pretty big ones at that." Testing of industrial equipment took place in the building, according to Anthony Dennis, the TDI majority owner. Fire officials weren't able to offer a square footage. Kelly judged the building to be a total loss. No financial damage estimate was available, nor was a fire cause. Parts of the building remained aflame as of about 7 a.m. It took firefighters almost 5 hours to bring the blaze under control. "If it had been wood frame, it wouldn't be standing right now," Kelly said. A limited quantity of diesel fuel and other flammable materials was stored in the building, according to Dennis. "Some of the materials leaked," Kelly said. Firefighters attempted to make sure the fluids didn't enter the sewer system. About 24 people work at TDI, according to Dennis, who expected insurance company representatives to arrive later Wednesday. It wasn't clear how long TDI operations would be affected. "Everything in there can be replaced," Dennis said. "The fire is just the unfortunate part of the business." Firefighters from Deer Creek, East Peoria, North Pekin, Tremont, and Washington assisted their Morton counterparts. Erie Avenue was blocked to through traffic north of Illinois Route 98. Here's an item entitled Grease Sing-Along Set Friday. Normal. The Normal Theater will show a sing-along version of the movie Grease at 7 p.m. Friday. Mid-State Cruisers will park several classic cars at the theater from 5 to 7 p.m., and the Cat Dragons, featuring members of Suicide Shifters and Backseat Radio, will perform at 6 p.m. in front of the theater. Audience members are encouraged to come in costume. A costume contest will be at 6:45 p.m. with prizes. During the movie, lyrics will be on screen and audience participation is very welcome. To accommodate the event, North Street from Fell Avenue to Broadway Avenue will be marked no parking at 3 p.m. and closed from 5 to 7 p.m. In case of inclement weather, music will move inside and vehicles will show up at the owner's discretion. Check out the Normal Theater Facebook page for updates on the day of the event. For more information, visit www.normaltheater.com. Here is a story of state news entitled, Illinois Plans for Personal Robots. House Passes Bill to Regulate New Devices. By Grant Morgan. Springfield. Futuristic technology may give Illinoisans their own personal robots that would follow wherever they go and carry supplies like groceries. In anticipation of a summer rollout of this technology, the Illinois legislature is moving a bill to regulate it. But many aspects remain unclear, including how strong demand will be and what the technology will look like in its final form. Chicago Democratic Representative Jamie Andrade is sponsoring House Bill 245, which seeks to regulate the use of mobile carrying devices. It is headed to the Senate after being passed unanimously by the House last week. When the state's vehicle code was written, people didn't think of this being a vehicle, Andrade said of the personal robots. "It's not a vehicle, but we still need a description and definition for it." His bill is primarily in response to a particular product, the personal robot Gita, in development at Massachusetts-based Piaggio Fast Forward, an affiliate of the Italian company that makes Vespa scooters. Gita is a 50-pound spherical robot Piaggio is designing to carry things to make it easier for a pedestrian to walk, ride a bike, or get around by other means. It tracks and follows the movements of a belt worn by an owner and uses cameras to survey the surrounding environment, according to the company's website. Neither Andrade nor the only organization to initially oppose the bill knows when the technology might show up on sidewalks, as it is still a prototype. Aaron Winters, an Illinois lobbyist who represents Piaggio, said it's expected to be available by this summer, which is why it is important for the legislation to pass. But the product's potential raises concerns about pedestrian safety and home rule powers, among other things. Kyle Whitehead is the spokesman for the Chicago-based Active Transportation Alliance, a nonprofit group that advocates for better biking, walking, and public transit in the Chicago area. He said ATA was originally opposed to Andrade's legislation because of pedestrian comfort and safety. "We were concerned with the potential that these devices would result in safety issues, especially for older adults and people with disabilities, or people who are generally not as mobile and able to get out of the way as easily," Whitehead said. One concern resulted in an amendment changing from 25 feet to 10 feet, the maximum distance between a personal robot and its owner. Another amendment prohibited people from using the device to transport another person. "You'd think you wouldn't have to legislate this," Andrade said, "but someone might put their baby in there and, God forbid, they forgot them, you know." Whitehead said the third of the large concerns, also eased by the amendment, was making sure home rule municipalities can regulate the devices when they start showing up on city sidewalks. "There's so much uncertainty about this device, what the speed would be, what the weight would be, how quickly it would be adopted, and how prevalent it would be," Whitehead said. "We want to make sure municipalities have the ability to go back and regulate these devices." Winters, the lobbyist for the creator of Gita, said the company was happy to see the legislation pass the House last week. "Mobile carriers such as the Gita are positioned to help Illinoisans walk more, get out of their cars, and live a more active lifestyle," he said. Piaggio employees could not be reached for this story to provide a specific launch date or updates to the product prototype. And we have some road closure notices. East Stewart and Barron's Place. The intersection of East Stewart Street and Barron's Place in Bloomington is closed to traffic due to sewer repairs. The intersection will be reopened as soon as work is done. Elm Street. Elm Street from Lee Street to Mason Street is closed to all traffic due to sewer repairs. Elm Street will reopen as soon as work is complete. And here's a notice entitled, "Bloomington Public Works Closed Friday." Bloomington. The Bloomington Public Works offices and the Citizen Convenience Center will be closed Friday in observance of Good Friday. Household garbage and recycle will be collected as scheduled Friday. For more information, contact Public Works at 309-434-2225 or publicworks at cityblm.org or at www.cityblm.org. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for April 18th. Please stay tuned.